Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And Alex.
Hey, that's a new voice on the podcast here. But Alex, thanks for joining us. We're down here in the basement recording an episode of the Short Rod Show here talking about the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show.
Yes, yes. And Brett isn't with us this evening, so I'm taking his place. I took his place at the ice show as well.
Yep.
He's packing up his entire house and moving south.
Brett is having all kinds of fun. He was already texting me today, wishing he was here recording with us today. But anyway, Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself, why you're on the podcast here, what we were up to last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm Ben's little brother, so his fishing background up through high school is very similar to mine. However, in college, he took it to a whole nother level, and I didn't. I went out with him a few times. Ice fishing is probably one of the things that I would love to dive into more and explore more. And I haven't had, well, I've had a lot of opportunities by you, but I don't know if I've taken you up on too many of them. But yep. Very interested. I lived in Albia, which is a little tiny town, and I lived there for 2 years, and I didn't know anyone yet. And I went fishing, shore fishing.
Yep.
Just about every day at the reservoir, or Lake Miami is what it was called. And well, then I met my now wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a friend, so I didn't need to go out fishing every night by myself.
Fishing slows down after that.
That's right. Yeah. So I do have some experience there, but shore fishing, I've owned boats. I haven't really fished off of them. It's all been recreational. So
yep.
I'm really glad that Ben invited me up to the ice show. That was really cool to see.
Well, yeah, it was cool. I wanted to get out, get you out. We could have a little brother time, which is fun. It's
yep.
always nice to get away.
Absolutely.
You know, we get busy, and you have two kids as well. And
yes,
so
I do.
You're right in the thick of it, just like I am, and Brett is too. So
absolutely. That's what I love about your podcast is how it's changed now since you've had kids.
Mm-hmm.
You guys always include them in your stories or when you're talking about things on the podcast and talking about ways to get out with them and include them in the
yep.
fun. So that's awesome. I'd love to do some of that too.
Absolutely. We'll get the kids out this year. This
yeah.
will be the year where they're a little more mobile.
Well,
we have the setup.
And now, you know, we live in the same town.
Yes.
That's a new development. So that's major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just having you guys close by, that's going to be really up in the odds of getting out fishing on a regular basis
yeah.
and getting the kids on the ice and
absolutely.
At least getting them out of the house. So they're yep. not tearing up
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Seriously.
Yep. Yep. Well, so we were up at the St. Paul Ice Show. So for those of you who don't know, that would be one of the major ice shows. I would say probably the most major ice show of any place around the Midwest or even in Canada. So a lot of those shows, you know, take place coming up to ice. And is interesting this year, it's kind of a crapshoot if there is ice up in Minnesota
yeah.
during the show. And it sounded like there was,
yeah.
there were people up there fishing. And I know we've talked to guys that have been up fishing, seen them on the page. So it was a good turnout, I think, overall. And Saturday got real busy.
Yeah.
You could tell the
Saturday
the floodgates
afternoon,
opened.
You had to walk sideways to fit through people.
Yeah. So there's still lots of people going to the show. The show's still really relevant just to poke around, see what's new, and I just enjoy interacting with ice fishing people, just to chat, see what's going on, talk to all the different vendors. Of course, that's what we're going to break down here today, because I know everyone likes to hear about what we found and some of the gems.
Yeah, we found some exciting stuff. I asked you, we kind of previewed the show Friday night. And
mm-hmm.
I asked you, so are you seeing anything new? Because I wouldn't really know that.
Yep.
And you said, oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I see
yep.
some new stuff this
yep.
year. And I said, well, that's great. Everything was new to me.
Yeah. No, and that's part of what made it really cool is just trying to help explain some of the things. And I moved pretty fast. Like I was like, yep, know that. That's fine. Ooh, what's this over here? Something shiny, something cool. Haven't seen that before. So
yep.
I appreciate you coming along. That was awesome. But as a first timer and as a not necessarily a real strong ice fisherman
yep.
yet.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions of the show? And tell us about just walking in on Friday and even Saturday.
Sure.
What you thought.
Yeah. I've been to events like that, just never ice fishing related. And the number of variations of similar products
mm-hmm.
from booth to booth just amazed me. How
yep.
many different ways there are to tweak items and things like that. You know, really cool. The first thing that caught my eye when I walked in the door had to have been the snow dog, but not the normal layout, but the bike.
Yes.
The bike was so cool.
So that was interesting because that was a two-wheel drive.
Two-wheel
drive motorcycle.
Electric. And it had a spot in the middle for a generator so it could sit there and charge. Oh, so cool. That was neat. They weren't offering test drives, though.
No, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff where you never know what you're going to run into at the show.
Yeah.
And a lot of those vendors, you know, that was on the bottom floor, right? That's the main show floor. That's where all your major contenders are. Eskimo, Clam, of course, takes up more and more every year.
They have half the show
seemed
like
floor.
It, yeah.
But then you start to get up in the upstairs and even the further upstairs off the other side, right?
Yeah, that seems to be where all the cool gadgets are and things like that. And people have an idea and they run with it and bring it to the show.
Yep. But no, that's good. I figured you'd enjoy it because it's outdoorsy stuff. It's just, it's a show where you can just take everything in at your own pace. It was nice. We didn't have a schedule.
Yeah.
We just went up there to learn and enjoy and talk to different folks about their products and learn a little bit more.
It was nice to scope it out Friday night too.
Yeah.
There wasn't the huge crowd. We could look at everything. Some of the vendors weren't even at their booths, you know.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised because I don't think I've made it up there on a Friday before.
Okay.
It's always just been
Saturday
morning and just it's literally like game on at 7:30 in the morning,
right.
8 o'clock, the VIP section opens, and that's where you can get in. Generally, you know, make your way around without bumping into too many people.
Have you ever stayed through Sunday, too?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
I'm trying to think back.
So Saturday's been your big day. Yeah.
You know, and I chase deals, but not to the point where I'm going to wait until Sunday. Man, living in Iowa, you know, we got to travel back and all that. It's 3.5 hours, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Sunday, that'd be interesting. I bet it'd be real busy, too, because
people
coming in and out. So
yeah.
You have to let us know what you guys experienced with the ice show. Leave us a comment.
Yeah.
I'd love to see
that. Yeah, I'd love to hear what Sunday was like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, Saturday afternoon, it was packed.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep. So tell me about I had you along as the camera guy. So you actually got to run the camera.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
So we got some good shots. So we'll be posting those. I'll drop those in on Facebook here about the same time as the podcast on Sunday morning when you guys start listening here. I think pictures do a lot of justice to some of this of what we're talking about. So you have to pick out some things and it'll help explain what we're talking about. But
it was so strange. I'd take a picture of someone's booth and they would duck out of the way.
Yeah.
It's like, you can be in the picture.
Yeah. This is not a real professional.
Exactly.
Deal.
So many people, so a lot of my pictures don't have the people actually owning the companies or running the booths in them. Cause they've ducked out. It's not cause I told them to get out of the way. That caught me off guard. It's like, oh, you can stay.
and so remember I told you, I was like, you don't have to ask permission to take pictures.
Right. But I was asking at first.
That really elevated.
It did.
I think in people's eyes when they're like, you know, somebody with a nice looking camera is like, hey, would you mind if I took a picture of this?
Do you mind if I take a picture of this product?
Yes. And they're like, by all means. Like,
yeah, please. Yeah.
Rolling out the red carpet here. Like the short rod shows in town taking some photos.
Well, and at first I was kind of concerned because, you know, so many people mentioned to us, you know, they had one special product and they said, well, next year other people will probably have it.
Yep.
I'm sure that happens a lot.
It does. And there's been a lot of companies that you know, try their hand. They'll sell some kind of product for a little while. And then, it just gets either overrun by too many competitors or, you know, it just turns out it just wasn't that successful. You know, and that's where... Yep. It's real hard to sit at the table here and go to the show and figure out, okay, this is going to be a huge deal and this is going to be not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to say because, there's lots of different things at the show where I couldn't have thought of any of that stuff.
Oh, no.
A lot of this stuff is,
genius.
And we'll talk about it here on the podcast tonight, but it's interesting. So anyway, running the camera, you got some good shots. I feel like we have a pretty good spread on the pool table here. We did not come home empty-handed.
No,
I think that was
no.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
We got a lot of different free stuff.
Well, what's great about the show is you didn't really have to spend a whole lot to get some really neat, really neat stuff. What a great place to touch stuff and see the quality of it. And
exactly. Yep.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, and really, for me, that's huge because I'm a gearhead. I love different types of gear. I like comparing different types of gear. And there's something to be said, like you said, putting something in your hand, touching it, holding it, and then having somebody there that's knowledgeable about it.
Yeah.
Not the guy at Bass Pro Shops. You know, that's kind of stereotypical, right? Yeah. I don't know anything about fishing, so I'll go to Bass Pro Shops.
Someone who probably uses it.
Yeah.
Or
this is the guy that either invented it or is extremely detailed and has been in it using the product hands-on.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these guys are professionals, right? They're either weekend warrior fishermen that have relationships with these companies, or they're actually the professionals that's their full-time job
is to
work on these products. So no, that's cool. And I always love plugging different questions. So
yeah,
we had lots of questions that got asked, and we'll have some more content for you guys throughout the season. I'm sure we'll keep that sprinkled in. But so starting at the beginning, you got a picture of the snow dog.
Oh yeah.
This
is the gas powered one.
Yeah. What was new this year for them? You want to touch on that?
For snow dog?
Yeah.
Well, I learned
not the gas powered one.
Not the gas powered one. Yeah. They've got electric.
Yeah, that was wild.
Amazing. With generator.
Yeah.
So, which is you park it while you're fishing and just let it sit there and charge up.
See, and I wonder if you didn't necessarily need the generator. I don't feel like you need the generator to keep it going. But
it had a mess of batteries under
it. If you're gonna go out camping and ice camp, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have a generator with you, right? Yeah,
then you've got a built-in generator into your snow dog, that's really neat.
They did have quite the presence this year. I feel like snow dogs are something that I don't have a lot of experience with, but if you guys use them, leave us a comment. Like, let us know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we need to get somebody from Snow Dog on here to talk about what makes them a little bit different than a ATV.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you sit on your sled then?
You stand on the sled,
You stand on the sled. Like, does it come with a sled, or do you use your sled that you've already got?
I think it comes with the sled.
Okay.
But I might be wrong. So I think the model that we're looking at, because
they had it hooked to a sled there. Yeah.
It's kind of like their mid-range model. They have a very basic model, and then they also have like a couple different levels of models. So
yeah,
this one has like a storage container on the back. That's cool. This is like a 13 horse gas motor. Kind of cool. One call out that you had was the exposed sprocket, the chain sticking out the front.
Oh, very strange. Yeah.
I don't know.
Right on front of the track, there was a big old gear with the chain going around, just right out there in the open. I'm thinking, you know, when you're getting on and off of the ice, you're going through dead weeds and things like that. I'm worried about what would get wrapped up in there or, you know, just being exposed to the water and things like that. It was strange. Maybe they had a cover off for the show. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah.
Who knows?
It looks nice. It's a cool little machine. I feel like it would be a lot easier to carry in store, right? You can stack it up, lean it against the wall in the shed or the garage, right?
Yeah.
Versus to carry an ATV.
Or your snowmobile.
We run a small ATV, so it's not as big of a deal, but I understand people
you
are out there.
You could stack that against the wall.
We could stack it.
One person,
we
for
could
sure.
Lean the Suzuki against the wall for sure. Good point. Clam was there with their ice camping setup. That was pretty similar to last year, though. I mean, you hadn't seen that kind of level of detail with the TV and the
big
hub shelters.
Not at all. You told me about those stacking beds. What'd you call that?
Disco beds.
Yeah. I don't know. I think one person moves, the other person's going to be waking up all the time. But have you tried them out?
No.
You said you saw them.
That's a good point. We should lay down in one and just check it out.
Yeah, we didn't do that. We tested out
everyone at Clam was real sketchy about being in there, I feel like.
Yeah, they were staring us down.
Yeah. And then do we want to talk SOS?
Yeah, we can talk SOS. It's a sled organization system.
I like that.
SOS.
Yeah, we'll post the pictures up here so you guys can see it. Actually, in this picture, there's that other guy talking to him.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even notice that. So
his story's true. I forget what kind of plastic he said these were made out of, but he was pretty proud of it.
Yep.
Which so, is good. It was a high quality plastic.
Yeah, think about your otter sled, Eskimo sled, clam sled, whatever you're using for a sled. This is a way to separate your gear, maintain your gear within a certain space, right? Mm-hmm. Keep your heater from bouncing around.
Right.
And just organize the bottom of your sled using this plastic assembly that's all customizable. So I really thought that was a great idea. Very flexible plastic, pretty much indestructible. You're not going to break it, crack right. it, that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the fact that this is a guy out here on his own with his own gear in the sled that he uses ice fishing, demonstrating how...
That was the best part.
This is organized.
Oh, like, yeah. He's ready to hit. You can tell that little buddy heater was on yesterday. Absolutely. You know, I mean, yes. you could tell that yep. that's his actual gear.
Yeah, his Ion has some miles on it. That thing's seen yep. some stuff.
Yep. Did you ever have 2x4s in your sled to organize stuff, or no, what have you done?
I've absolutely nothing.
Nothing, okay.
So that's what's funny about it. I do absolutely nothing to organize it, and I feel like...
To separate things.
Yes, yep. that's a detriment. Like, well, on the ice, the way I see it, you only have limited time that you're out there fishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to pack, you have limited time.
Yep.
So... I'm a fan of organizing my ice gear, so sure. I know that in this pocket of my bag, I know what's in there.
Yeah.
In this section of my sled, that'd be awesome to be able to pop your shelter up and be able to see everything exactly where it's at, if you have it or not, all of that.
Yeah, didn't roll around. He tested it with bowling balls.
Yeah.
Yep. Impressive, you know, very impressive.
So I think he had $199 for the big expandable set and $149 for the other one.
Yep, maybe. Exactly. Right? Yep, I think that's right.
Extendable model, 11-piece set and a 12-piece set. All right, nice. He's got a little bit of everything. So anyway, we'll have some photos of that. You guys can comment on there on Facebook and let us know what you think about it. But SOS, the sled organizing system.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Good guy to talk to, too.
Yep. I'm going to go to the trailer next. So out front.
Oh, man.
They had quite the rig, I think, from Clam. Clam had to have sponsored that. But it's a huge Can-Am ATV with tracks, right?
Yep.
And then it was pulling this utility trailer that was actually really slick.
Dream come true right there, that trailer.
Think about an aluminum frame trailer, and it had a plastic body on the trailer.
Yeah.
But like a heavy-duty...
Real thick,
you know, roto molded type heavy plastic. And it was like a 7x, you remember what the size was? 7x12 or something?
It looks like it was at least 12.
But yeah,
the picture doesn't do it justice, because when we walked up to it, it mm-hmm. looked really good size. But
this looks like something like you would tow behind your truck.
Yep.
Put your quad in it
yep.
and your shelter.
Yep.
Strap it all down.
Absolutely.
And then you would undo the quad from it, undo it from your truck, hook it up to your quad, and haul all your stuff out.
And then pull
on
it.
Ice.
Yep.
Real light, lightweight. I think it had a 2,800 pound capacity or something.
Yeah. That's a really nice.
So it's probably a 3,500 pound axle.
I wonder what the price tag is on that.
Yeah. What I liked, though, was. I scrape up the bottom of my ice runners on my sled all the time on sharp things. So like
rock sticking
you
out.
Load it. Well, you load it on a trailer like this. If it was an aluminum straight aluminum trailer, that's what I was thinking. It's
you
gonna
would scrape it up. Yeah.
You're gonna scrape pretty bad. Yeah. So this being plastic, like in the cold, that stuff would just slide right out. No
and this
problem.
Is, I mean, this is a year round trailer too.
Yes.
You know, you could easily use this for anything. That was really neat.
Had a ramp built in on the back, nice aluminum ramp.
Aluminum,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
Picture of a chicken sandwich. Maybe we'll throw that up there, too, at the truck park.
Wow, truck park. Good. The chicken sandwiches were...
For the win.
Out of this world.
For being out of an old GMC RV.
RV.
food truck.
I'll tell you what, that was a neat place, too. Not bad. Permanent food trucks inside. That was great.
Not bad at all. Then we ran over to the Vexan booth.
Yep.
Right, I think that was right away on
Saturday. He wanted to show us his new tip-ups. They're new this year.
Yep.
Some interesting things about them is 8 fit in a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket.
I do like that design. They're triangular, foldable tip-ups.
Yep.
So think about, there's another company that makes similar tip-ups that fold into themselves.
I forget where that was.
I have one of them, too.
Oh.
Anyway. This is similar, mm-hmm. But yeah, just Eight of them fit in a bucket. That was cool.
Well, and he talked about how the triangular style, it's stronger if you step on it or something.
Sure.
But yep. It's got cleats underneath to keep it up out of the slush so it doesn't freeze the ice.
Yeah, so that's neat.
You know,
I get that. I think that's going to be more for just glare ice only. I mean, you think about it. If there's any kind of snow on the ice, I mean, there's always slush around your hole.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's nice, but not a deal breaker.
They're nice looking, though.
But one thing I did like, so I'll shout this out. If you zoom in on the picture of the little trigger, it had four different settings for sensitivity on that trigger on the tip-up instead of your typical two. So, like, you have kind of a light setting and a heavy setting.
Yep.
This has four different settings. So, like, extra light, medium, heavy.
How do you know what to set it on? Just what you're fishing?
Yep. Depends on how, you know, if it's a windy day, I'll say this, tip-up flags, they're going to be almost popping up on their own, right? So you want to be on more of a heavy setting. If it's a dead calm day and you want to be real sensitive, flip it to the real sensitive.
Seems like it's always windy on the ice.
It is. It's
always windy.
Yep. And then we had a great conversation with them about rod length. So this being an ice fishing podcast, that's a touchy subject of rod length of, you know, what people are actually using on the ice, what they're looking for, and kind of, I guess we got into the trends of what people are moving more towards. So
might have to change the name of the podcast.
Yeah, it could be
the Long Rod Show.
Long Rod Show might be.
So he asked, I didn't catch his name, but the owner of Vexan asked if we've seen a trend in people preferring longer ice fishing rods versus shorter.
Yep. I think, and I think we have. That's definitely a thing where within the past 3 to 4 years, longer ice rods, there's an advantage there, especially when you're hole hopping outside. You have the room. If you can stand back away from your hole, fish away from your hole, that's great.
Right.
But I feel like me personally, I told him, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't go crazy over ice rod length, I guess. I have a 32-inch rod in the bullwhip that I use. That's probably as long as I want.
I was going to say, that's the longest one you have, huh?
Otherwise, a 28 is a good size for me. So he specifically asked just because of ice rod cases.
Yeah, right? He's designed one called the Ninja Frog. It was a soft case.
Nope, that's the bait behind it, I think.
Oh, that's the bait behind it?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so does it not have a name? Maybe, look up the Ninja Frog anyway.
The Vexan rod case.
Vexan rod case. Okay.
Real lightweight, soft-sided.
Yeah,
I mean, it's interesting because the main structure is just a chunk of foam.
Yeah, but it's neat that it zipped down the top and then down the front, so you could slide your tackle out without taking your rods out.
Yeah, see, I'm turned off of that already.
Really?
No, I wasn't real impressed with if we're looking for something that's going to protect a $150 rod. I'm not putting in that thing.
Okay.
That's just me.
That's fair. But that's why he was asking about
it. It's also probably not long
there.
Enough. I think that he said it was like a 30.
Yeah, it was
32?
In the 30s. Yeah.
It was something in the 30s. Like that. So that's a valid point. But on Facebook, you guys, I'd like to hear about if you think that's what the industry is going towards. Are you guys using longer ice rods? Are you finding value in using longer ice rods? Because here in Iowa, I'm not sold on it. Just the way that Brett and I fish.
Sure.
You know, I'll let him speak for himself here coming up next week, but I feel like longer is not always better.
So if you think there's a trend of going longer with the rods, do you think there's also a trend of the ice shelters having standing height inside?
Sure.
You know, do you think they go hand in hand? Is that why?
Yeah, so that's definitely a thing. Yeah, you get to a 36-inch rod, that's some length that you're trying to
You've got to have a certain size shelter to have that long of a rod and, know, and the hole be in a comfortable spot.
Yep, absolutely. No, I thought that was interesting. So in ice rod cases, you know, I think we're looking at a Scheels hard case on the pool table here, but that one I've had for quite a while. That's a 36, you know. End to end, you're not fitting a 36-inch rod in there. You're fitting a 34 potentially.
Sure. Are there standard lengths for rods, or is like you got a 28? Mm-hmm. Could you get a 29? Could you get a 30? You know, if you get a custom made, or are there there's 28 and there's 30 and there's 34, you know.
I feel like there's variation there, but it's generally even numbers. I don't see a lot of people doing 29s or calling out a 29 or a 31 or a 33, but
yeah, sure.
Yeah, you absolutely could. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in terms of fighting the fish, our rods have gotten so much better in quality too, where I mean, there's not as much difference when it comes to length in how you fight the fish. But that's just me. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because
I won't.
No, I didn't expect that. That's good. You're
maybe
not
someone on Facebook. Someone on Facebook will.
Oh, absolutely. We'll hear about that for sure. Everyone's good with that.
So the next thing is something. I have no reason to get one of these, but I almost bought it just because it's such a deal. The Razor 8-inch. Synthetic, they call it synthetic? Is that the word?
Synthetic Ultra. Yeah.
Yep. Synthetic Ultra, $199 at the show.
Okay, to clarify, this is the Synthetic Ultra bit, right? So the composite bit, and it is the 40-volt ice auger. This is the full 40-volt, 7 amp hour. 7 amp hour battery. And the 8-inch synthetic ultra flighting for $200 from Up North Sports Razor Augers, and it said free shipping only. So that tells me they would ship it to you, right? You're not walking out of the show with it necessarily. Sure.
They did have them stacked up there though.
Yeah. So curious, if anybody picked one of those up, let us know about it, because that the Razor really intrigues me. They had some cool things going on, talking about how their composite flighting is composite until you get to metal at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. It's a metal mount that your blades are mounted to, which I don't know that anybody else is doing that.
Right.
They're doing a composite all the way through, mounting your steel blades to composite, right?
They also had rounded wings that stick down a little bit lower than the blades.
I like to
help you punch through that last inch without the jerk, the jolt there at the end. That's what they claimed, at least.
Yep.
That was only on certain auger bits, but
one dig I would give against them would just be, I know it's probably a patent thing, but the keeper that keeps your auger from going down the hole, that's being just like a piece of flat plastic. Like that's going to spin around. It's not attached to the auger where it's going to spin the same speed, but that just seems like something that's going to catch on my zipper and rip my coat in half.
Yeah. not something around. I'd think of. So, yeah, that's great.
Yep.
Yeah, that Razor. Was pretty neat.
So
to
for
see
$200
that.
Though, a 40-volt Razor auger with a battery, $200, and a composite flight. So they had the original price $549 crossed off. Yeah.
Do you think you could find one for $549 if you tried?
Well, yeah, I think that's legit.
Wow.
Like the Strikemaster version, that's $669 probably.
Wow.
So yeah, absolutely. The Ion Alpha, that was $650 bucks. So
how about like the Eskimo? Any similar?
That is cheaper. I was kind of impressed with some of the deals on that Eskimo, that E40 auger, but you like the design of it.
It looked nice, yeah.
You thought it was really slick, just compact.
It was, very.
I don't know how much of the design of those are to kind of make it look cool.
Bingo.
And the other part.
I fall for that every time.
Yeah, so like
I'd
to
fall
me.
For that, because I've never used one.
But when I look at that, I think that's kind of lightweight, that's kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How long is that going to hold up?
Right.
Is that going to be a 3-year kind of deal?
Sure.
And throw it away because it.
I saw it and I thought, well, that looks really cool.
Yeah,
they win.
Some of the other ones, you look at the gearbox on them, you're like, okay, that's going to hold up.
Right,
like that's more of a
sure.
Throw out the gas motor that was on the previous model and just slap an electric motor in there. Right.
Yeah,
we're going to gear it down and do the same thing. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then wheelhouse. Let's talk wheelhouse stuff. We got time. We got time.
Boy.
We're running through the ice show here.
Yeah.
Snail's pace, but that's all right.
They're very, very cool.
Have you ever been in one before?
No.
Really?
No.
Have you heard of them, seen them?
Yes, seen them.
Okay.
Yep, seen them.
Yep.
Yeah, just through you. I don't know where that would have been, but
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if we... Oh, sorry. There we go. Yeah,
we don't want to lose you here.
Oh, geez.
You might even just move it up a little bit.
Move it up? Okay.
Just stay like a couple inches away.
Okay. How's that?
Much better.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I've seen them before. I've always called them ice huts. I don't know.
Well, that's a hell of a fancy ice hut.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They did not have a lot of bare bones options this year.
Right.
Last year, I remember seeing some like... They're practically a, you know, nailed together skid house that somebody built.
Four walls and a roof, yeah.
Yeah, but they had models that were like $4,000 or $5,000. You know, something pretty reasonable, right?
Nothing like that this year.
Oh, they went all out. I think,
what, 14.9 was that the little jigger or I forget. Yeah, so
this one that I posted on Facebook of me sitting in with my thumbs up, that was 15.
Yeah.
15.5, right?
Yeah, it was very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
The layout for that, yeah, they had some good deals there. The other piece of that, I'm not a wheelhouse guy. I know I kind of joked about it, but.
Well, you live in Iowa.
I don't know what's good quality, what's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like anything else, right? You can have a wheelhouse that's probably half the price of another one.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some differences, right? So.
Yeah.
No, what did you think about a wheelhouse experience?
You know, just looking at the inside, there were some with the unfinished wood look, you know, trying to go like a cabin-y kind of feel. And
people go nuts over that.
I know. And I just
love it.
I'm picturing, you know, cleaning your fish and fish guts everywhere and touching stuff. And that unfinished wood, that's hard to clean, you know. There were some others where pieces of trim were just kind of, you know, finish nailed on and they were like, pulling off. And but then there were some that had really nice finished cabinetry, and they weren't the expensive ones either. Yeah. It's like that unfinished wood is so desirable. Those were the more upscale ones, where the ones with like the nice finished cabinets and things like that were on the cheaper models.
You're a fan of the wallpaper ones.
Wallpaper ones. Oh, they had wallpaper?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Well, like this one
I guess that's a good wallpaper that's if you don't notice it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely...
Yeah,
you're
right. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But, you know, and then some had rubber floors, some had, you know, like a foam vinyl. Yeah, that, yeah.
I'm kind of with you. You weren't a huge fan of the foam
vinyl. Well, I run into it all the time, and, you know, a true vinyl plank, very durable. You know, it's a hard plastic, waterproof. This wasn't that. This was more like a linoleum with a foam, like a thin layer of linoleum with foam under it. And I see that stuff rip a lot.
Sure. So like
a lot.
If you were to take your clam bucket.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's loaded down with fish and drop it. Yep. It's probably going to crack through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's no good.
Yeah. Or you drop, you drop your fillet knife. You know, it will poke right through that floor.
Yep.
You know,
poke through your floor.
So some of them had like a hard rubber floor that really appealed to me.
Pokes through the floor after it pokes through your foot first.
Right. It's almost like they were going to be more camper oriented inside versus
they very much
fish oriented.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in a lot of these, that's kind of a dual purpose, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to make that investment, I get it. You know, it's a big deal. So you want to be able to use it in the summer. You see, and a lot of them had the air conditioners on top. They're
so ready to go. People who have them, do they camp in them in the summer then?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't see why you couldn't, you know, especially in the fall and spring when it's a little cooler.
I did. So one thing that I hadn't noticed before, there were some that had full galvanized frames. That's cool.
Oh,
I'm not a wheelhouse guy, but I know some trailer stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
That's appealing, especially around, you know, you're towing it in the winter all the time.
Yep.
And then the drop mechanism on some of those.
Yeah.
That was slick. So if you can get away from winching down your wheel ends.
Oh yeah.
Right. And get over towards just running hydraulics to lower from the tongue. That's pretty sweet.
The whole thing, yeah. That was really neat.
Yeah. So anyway, learned a few things there. Didn't really talk to anybody on wheelhouse.
How popular are those in the Des Moines area?
Very unpopular.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
to the point of you don't see them unless somebody is traveling on the way through delivering them somewhere.
Right. My mother-in-law told me when she lived in the Twin Cities, they'd announce on the radio, hey, it's time to get your ice huts in.
Yeah.
Yep. Ice is getting thin. They blast it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get those in.
Pull them off the lake, boys.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. This is going to be a good episode, Alex. I like it.
Hey.
I like where we're heading.
There we go.
Circle Tackle.
Yeah.
This guy was cool. So he was from...
Very nice.
Massachusetts, right? Or Maryland.
Somewhere in the Northeast.
Dang it. I get them mixed up all the time. So Circle Tackle, cool company based out of Massachusetts or Maryland. I apologize.
Northeast.
But they brought their whole spread. They set up at the ice show. That was awesome. They had a gentleman there from Minnesota helping to represent them. They had some good deals on stuff. So
they did have some great deals.
I actually purchased a rod, if you want to hand that.
Is that this right here?
Yep, that's that one. So everyone's familiar with 13 Fishing and the Tickle Stick. So the Tickle Stick is kind of a panfish rod. This is a pretty much exact replica of the Tickle Stick. And it probably is a Tickle Stick.
Yeah.
Just rebranded. I thought that was sweet. So pick this thing up. I think it's $25.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I knew you were sold as soon as you picked it up.
Because when I take people out fishing,
this is perfect.
This is like a great beginner rod. This is something like you're not going to break it. I'm not going to worry about breaking it.
If you do, you're not going to cry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I paired this with a, just out of spite, a Black Betty 13 Fishing inline reel because a free fall ghost.
Oh, sure.
Just because, why not?
I don't know what any of that means just said, but yeah.
This is just a drop rod, so it has a trigger on it.
Okay.
So you just pull the trigger.
Oh, and then it drops, free. Yeah.
And then you let go, and then
it
stops wherever you want.
Nice.
And then you just reel it back.
Are those don't seem, I didn't see very many of those.
No, not the show, are popular, they not? Because they kind of suck.
Oh.
Nothing.
Sure looks nice.
Nothing to where you can't get past it. It does look cool.
Yeah.
That is not a hole hopping reel.
Oh, and sure.
We've talked about it on the show before, but you do not take that out when it's 10 degrees out and expect your line to come up with a little bit of water on it. It's not going to shed any of that water, and it's just going to reel it up, and it's going to be a crusty mess.
And then it's open. Not going to work.
Well, pick it up again. You can see it's open on that side, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Your line's going to coil off into the abyss. So,
buddy.
Not a huge fan of inline reels of that style, right?
Okay.
The schoolie style with two defined, spools you can fit it in and real simple.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Anyway, the Tickle Stick from Circle. I'm calling it the Tickle Stick. It's not.
How much was it? $25.
$25.
Yeah. That was awesome. Great. Yeah. So you were pumped up.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
that was one of the first things you bought there. For. And like, you were pumped up.
Because I think about all the times, taking other people out fishing, love doing that, showing people the sport and getting them involved.
But, yep.
Not everyone wants to fish with a $150 rod, $100
no,
rod.
No, I wouldn't.
Right?
No, if you're taking me out, it's too much pressure.
I don't think that's the right way to do it either, because that's going basically right to the top.
Yeah, and that's not where you started. That's not where you want people you're taking out to
exactly.
start. You got to start with the basics and things. Yeah, that was neat. That was a neat find.
This is going to be a long episode. We're already at 30-some minutes, 35 minutes.
If you are still listening, thank you.
I don't know if anybody's listening. We never know.
I think there are. Well, so, Ben's being modest. He was recognized not only by face at the show. He was recognized by voice.
Yes.
We were talking to someone, and they said, "I think I know that voice."
Yeah, where do I know you from?
Yeah.
That was wild.
That is wild.
That was cool. Shout out to Ryan over at the Norsk booth.
Yeah.
We have some more conversations to be had there.
Yep.
Definitely we'll be reaching out.
But, for sure.
Moving over to Create a Lure, the kids' lure creation box. We shouted this out, I think, a couple years ago when we saw them there at the show. But this is huge. So... if you don't know what we're talking about, this is basically either a topwater lure, other kind of, regular
musky
lure,
just blank,
just a blank, not painted, no hooks on it. It's add hooks in, from the box, but you can have your kids paint it. This is genius.
Oh yeah.
Our son, he loved the musky box. I got him the musky box this year. And he painted 1¼ of the other musky lure.
The other one's done. He just that's his technique on that one.
Could be.
It's going to catch a musky. Yeah,
transparent musky.
Yeah, I bet he was pretty jazzed up about that.
Yeah, loves it. So, cool graphics on the box, like that catches them right away.
Oh, looks
like,
looks great. Yeah.
Great. Good stuff. They had some new things this year, like he actually used that piece, you know, the guy was talking about the different colors to match up, and you know, red and blue makes purple.
It had a little diagram to
used it, loved it.
Yep,
that was a huge hit.
Yep, so. how to make new colors with the colors that it came with. Yes. Yeah,
well,
that's
excellent.
So that's a great idea.
Yeah, if you have kids like we do, the Create a Lure, that was excellent. Moving on here, we had a big van on tracks. That was kind of cool.
That was neat. Just a talking piece there.
Yeah, just something cool to look at one of the resorts. And then the Ice Master Shuttle.
Yeah.
This, I think, just dropped 2 weeks before, he said, at the Winnipeg
from Canada.
Ice Show.
Yeah.
Yep.
From Canada.
Yep. So this is like next level ice shuttle stuff for your Garmin's. Mostly just Garmin's, actually. I mean, he talked a little bit Hummingbird.
He said it would fit Hummingbird too, but he just had examples with Garmin's, but wow, it really, the design on it is really, really great. Yeah. So it had some nice features too. But
this is high level stuff. This is
a
$400 shuttle, with a bag and everything. But what their claim to fame here, which is cool. This is like an 8612 Garmin. So that is already a $3,000 to $4,000 unit, probably. Just the fish finder alone.
Yeah.
But the shuttle folds down, so you actually flip your screen.
Yep. The screen flips back. Put the cover on.
Put the cover on, and then it folds down a little more compact size. So,
Was the size of battery he could fit in those? Was that an impressive size? Or pretty standard?
Pretty standard.
Okay.
I think he said it could fit a 48 amp hour amp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Battery, which that's kind of what, geez, if you're running a 12-inch screen, that's some serious power.
And it had a built-in light for charging your jigs.
Yep. That was the name of the game this year, I think.
Blacklight. Oh, the light. Yeah, lots the light features. Yeah.
Stuff.
Amazing.
Yep. So that's cool. UV light.
So the part that sticks down in the water.
Yeah, the pole.
The pole, thank you. Really? That's all it's called? Just the pole?
Yeah, I just call it a pole.
Well,
I don't know.
He was very, very proud of the weight on it and how it swiveled and it had, you know, things on it to know what way you're looking. And
the Ice Master pole, I was impressed with it. I think it was, he said, $260 maybe, which it's not too bad compared. You know, considering the quality here, so he's running a full machined aluminum. You know, this is like I kept talking about the Summit pole that I have. This is like three times the strength.
Yeah, right?
This is a serious deal. And the indicator that he had on top, that was legit.
Yeah, yeah.
To stay lined up, and then he also had the quick disconnect at the bottom. He had the kind of, I don't know if you call it like a trigger style mechanism to pivot and change your modes, like forward view, down view, perspective mode, all that. That was slick.
The Ice Master stuff really is worth taking a look at.
Yep.
I mean, he had some neat ideas, and it was all really, the fit and finish was amazing.
Yep. We have their QR code. I'll post that on there so you can check out their website. But coming straight from Winnipeg, he had quite a few units there. I bet he sold quite a few.
Good.
Over the show, because that was pretty neat. The poll was a good idea as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The Ice Pro View. This was interesting. Yeah. So this was one of the vendors up on the upstairs, which that's our bread and butter. Brett and I just love going to the upstairs, seeing all the up-and-comers. It's got to be a price break to go, you know, have your booth upstairs, but lots of cool stuff up there.
Yeah, so you could spend most of your time up
there.
So
this is I'll try and describe it for you guys. This is a pole that fits into one of your ice holes. You set your fish finder on top, and you can run your transducer through the center of the pole. Yeah. This keeps it off the ice. It keeps it at your, not eye level, but generally, you know, I don't know, maybe chest level even.
Yeah, I would say, you know, and that could go hand in hand with longer poles, you know.
We call them rods, but
yeah. Rods. Sorry,
yeah, that's all right.
with longer rods, just if you're standing, you know it. He mentioned a lot people with neck issues, back issues. Yeah, well, absolutely. Now even if they're sitting in a chair, they can put their fish finder right at eye level. Yep. For them.
So he had a real slick deal. I think it was $100. Yep. Had it in a carrying bag.
Yep.
It breaks apart.
Yep.
That's huge.
Yep.
Absolutely. So we'll have pictures on our website.
You can two beverage holders Facebook. Or two, yep. Two bait holders.
You can check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, so neat little thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the Lake Co. and the Ice Runner booth. This is always a favorite.
Boy.
Yeah, we got to talk on the Ice Runner.
First of all, they had 2 8-foot tables just full of little gadgets, rod holders,
everything, right?
A bunch of stuff there.
And I picked up a couple. Actually.
Yeah, you did.
So, if you guys are familiar with the Otter rod holder setup, that mounts to an Otter sled inside your lodge or your cabin, right? Those are like $20-some now.
The ones that clip on the side?
Nope, they don't clip on. You got to bolt them on. Wow. They're a little...
Wow.
It's hard to explain exactly what they are. They're a little metal rod holder, basically.
Okay.
But yeah, they're like $20-some. And so talking with... I can't remember the gentleman's name from Ice Runner and Laco, but same company. They're actually KMDA is their official name.
Yep.
And he said, hey, you know, we just look for different things that we can do. You know, inexpensively, generally, that's their bread and butter is value and things that are inexpensive. So, this is a clip-on rod holder, fits over your edge of your Otter sled. This is going to be money.
Yeah.
I can just sit there, snap it right over the edge of the Otter, and it's $5.
Yeah, $5 is great.
Like, this is a molded plastic. It's not 3D printed. I think this is,
molded. Yeah, it's got a seam down the middle and everything. What do you think the little hole is for there? You know, do you clip something in there?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Huh. But yeah, it looks great.
And then also, this is another kind of rod holder. So this fits any sled house, right? Yep. This is $5 too. It's a little stamped piece of metal. It's got a little rubber grommet around it, but it comes with a nut and a washer.
Now you could make that yourself, but
you could.
Now you don't have to.
This is... Also $5.
Yep.
Money well spent for me because I could be cutting and grinding some.
Then going to the hardware metal, store and getting
going
a bolt
to the hardware store. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the two things I got there. But they also, I want to shout out for their Versa Rack system.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
For your ATV?
ATV and snowmobile fits on your receiver. The bucket light. So this is like a LED ring that goes around a bucket.
I think that's great.
Yeah
LED ring.
I thought that was cool, other than I think it was like $20.
Oh sure.
Yeah,
really breaking the bank.
No, but like
for their booth, that was one of the more expensive things they have. But
yeah,
ice suits.
Tell me about ice suits, because
you're
completely fresh into ice gear.
Yeah,
right?
I needed an ice
especially apparel.
I knew, because you know, I remember this from past times you've asked me to tag along ice fishing, and I'm like, what do I wear? I have no idea what to wear. So at the Ice Runner booth, they had a brand new, according to their website, this came out mid-November.
Yes.
Is when they started selling these. It's a brand new ice suit. It's they call it their fall spring ice suit, but I can tell you it's extremely warm. But it was $200. $200, and it came with gloves. Came with some nice Ice Runner gloves.
That was the deal of the show.
Yeah, and I tell you what, the
fall spring float suit.
Okay, fall spring float suit is what they call it. But it's a different design than their other one. I don't know what their other one is called, but it's a little bit thinner.
You can read through that if you want.
Yeah, it's waterproof. You know, 10,000 millimeters is how they measure that.
All right, let me touch on that quick.
Please do.
If that's true, that's exactly the same as a striker suit.
Okay.
Your basic, you know, Predator striker suits, 10,000K.
Sure.
That's impressive.
Okay. So that's good.
And I think that's an upgrade. So we've talked about Ice Runner on the podcast before, but it sounds like this year with that spring fall suit, You know, which if you run a little warm, that's the suit to get.
I will say I wore it is
a little thinner.
Yeah, it was upper 20s earlier this week, and I had to do some stuff outside. I put it on, and I was sweating.
Good to go.
I was sweating. All right. Yeah, because it's got the tight cuffs around your your wrists. You know, the internal cuffs there, and and the hood zips off, and it's got pockets everywhere. Waterproof zipper covers, and yeah, I'm really impressed with it. But I really like that it's a little bit thinner, so it wears like a normal coat. It feels like I'm just wearing a normal kind of coat. So I've already gotten some compliments on it. I've only worn it one time. And
tell me about these compliments.
I had to drive down to to our other office for some some business Tuesday, and as soon as I walked in, you know, my my coworker said, "Well, that's a nice coat. Where'd you get that?" I said, "Funny you should ask."
Absolutely.
He's like, "Ice runner. Let me tell you. Ice runner. I've never heard of that." Yeah. So I'm pumped to wear it. It came with the bibs too, and
those bibs are nice.
They are nice. Yep. Yeah,
adjustable seam at the bottom. Yep. You can adjust it for your height. I mean, that's all that.
Yeah,
that's everything that you need.
Yeah, there's no padding in the knees.
Okay,
but it does have the extra material over the knees, and
their regular float suit does have padding there. It is substantially thicker, and heavier.
Yeah,
and we held them up to kind of compare just to make sure you're making the right choice.
Yeah.
It was heavy. It would be very warm.
Oh, yeah. Now these gloves, you know.
So, okay, on the gloves.
Yeah.
That was the ice show special because that's your price.
Yeah.
It's a $200 suit.
Yeah.
So if you guys go on icerunnerhouses.com.
Icerunnerhouses. Right
there right now. Yep.
Yeah.
$200.
Yeah.
I think you probably pay a little bit in shipping, but hey, there you go.
Well, at the show, it came with the gloves, and I tell you what, the Ice Runner gloves are pretty decent.
Yep.
You know, it's got the finger cutouts.
Yep.
But it's got the
fingerless gloves.
Yep. Yep.
With the mitt that goes over top.
Yep. The mitt flap, and it's got a magnet in it to keep it back, so it's all magnets. No.
That's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, I've worn those multiple times this week already. I'm really pumped about those.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got to get out on the ice. All right. When is there going to be ice? It was 60 degrees today, Ben.
Yeah, that's kind of terrible.
Yeah. Horrible.
If you guys are really holding out for some ice content, we'll have it.
Yeah.
If I could drive north, you know, in the next couple days, I would, but it's not going to work out. So.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to keep you posted there because, it was 60 degrees.
Yeah, and if you're looking for ice to get on, Des Moines is not your travel destination.
Not going to fly. So, as you guys check out this picture of the Ice Runner suit, the color, I like the color. It's kind of like like an OD green, dark green, olive green.
It's got some dark gray on it, too. And then, the piping is reflective orange, which is nice.
All right, Ice Runner suit. I'm excited to see how that holds up.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah. I wouldn't have steered you towards it.
It's an ice jacket that I can wear as a coat, you know, more than just going out on the ice.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. What's next here?
We got the freeze armor.
The freeze armor. Yeah. Okay. This is interesting. I want to touch on this briefly. So heard about the freeze armor bags. So these are heated protection product bags. best winter companion for your ice fishing, for your fishing tool battery. So, lithium ion batteries do not like the cold, right? Your StrikeMaster 40 volt auger batteries, your drill batteries, if you're using a drill, kind of like what we run, but they do not like the cold. So if you leave them out in the truck overnight and it's 10 degrees out, you're not going to have a good time trying to use that the next day. So this is an interesting product. I'm not real sold in the way that it's working to keep your batteries warm, I guess. But it's interesting to see. So these are kind of like a small lunch cooler.
Which is what they were originally designed for, he said.
Yep. And they use them in the construction industry to keep power tools warm, you know, while people are out doing important things, building different things.
Yeah.
But it has to have 110 volt power to run.
Yeah, that when I saw that threw me off.
Yeah,
That really threw me off.
So what they had, I thought that was interesting. They had the Milwaukee M18 inverter. So that runs a, I don't know, 100 watt inverter or something like that. 120 volt. And then you would just plug the bag into this battery that's inside the bag.
Yeah.
And then that's going to keep everything at 65 degrees.
Yeah.
60 degrees.
Yeah. They had a cooler there at negative 10 and it was 66 inside the bag.
Yes. So
it works well.
Sure. Yep.
But you've got it plugged into an inverter. I mean, we don't know the power draw of the stuff. So
no, I don't think it's a whole lot.
Go ahead.
No. Talk okay, about the material.
Yeah, they showed us the heating material, and instead of it being a coil or a wire that gets warm, it's a rubberized sheet.
Yep.
It looked like rubber. You could stretch it.
Yep.
They said you can cut it. You can cut parts off of it, and it'll still work.
Yep.
So that's what was in this bag.
Yeah.
What else
can you do with it?
What else can you do with it, Ben?
So he talked about for those thermal imaging guys. The guys running,
wanting
to target practice with their thermal cameras on their ARs or whatever.
Yep.
You can actually use these as targets, which they heat up, which they'll glow under, you know, thermal camera. And then when you shoot them, they still work.
Yeah, they still work.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of applications for that material.
Yeah, just rubber sheeting, real thin, like a millimeter thick.
Yep.
Yeah, that was neat. It was cool to see, but it's weird that it runs off 110.
Yep. The other part of me, I know we're based in Des Moines, so we're not getting extremely cold for long periods of time, but I feel like a couple hand warmers in a cooler bag,
mm-hmm.
you know, lunch bag, whatever.
Sure. Keep it warm enough.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, similar.
Yeah. This is a great idea. But it'd be even better if you plugged it in at home, charged it up.
Then you could take it out
on the ice, and the battery would last all night, keeping things warm.
And maybe that's a good product idea for them, right? Throw another lithium power pack in with
it. Put a layer on the back with it.
Yep. And go, you charge this up for 3-4 hours, and it's going to run for 8 or 10 hours.
Yeah.
Right? And maintain that temp.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. The bait load.
Boy,
that's our next picture.
This is great. This is a genius little gadget here.
Yeah, so Waxy Wizard. I bought one for sure. This is interesting to kind of see how it works, but the guy had a really good sales pitch.
Oh, yeah.
How do you load, you know, mm-hmm. 22 ammo, right, into a gun? Well, you have a speed loader, right?
Yep.
And this is a speed loader for waxies. Yep.
Yep. And everyone that walked by, especially Friday when it was a little slower, he was saying, "Hey, have you seen this yet?"
Yeah.
I mean, no one has.
No.
This is new. What a great salesman there.
Absolutely. So this is a waxworm case where you literally load the waxworms vertically.
Yep.
So I'm trying to describe this here, but
yep.
If you load them vertically, did you get a good picture of it? Oh, kind of.
I got a picture of the cover.
We might have to add.
Might have to take a new picture of the inside.
You load the wax worms in there vertically. So this holds, I don't know, how many is that? 25, 30?
Yeah, sure.
And then you can keep the top on it. And then, you take this out. You just run it like this.
Yeah, just run it like that, yep.
And then it has slots in either side. So you just line up a hole with a waxy in it. You don't need to take your gloves off.
Yep.
And you just take your hook and go.
Slide it down the slot.
Slide the waxy in and slide it over to the next one if you need another one.
Waxy perfectly gets on that hook.
Genius.
Yeah.
Taking your gloves off. You don't have to do that.
Yeah,
that's genius. Key. So
quick, very quick.
Yep.
Well, that was his whole thing. You know, if the fish are biting, you want to get back in there as soon as possible. But he had a like kind of a funnel device.
He had a lot of stuff there.
He had accessories for it.
I think the fisherman pack was $50, and that more power to you for that. But that's a speed loader for the wax worm holder. That you can literally just shake around and all the waxies fall in.
Pour your waxies in, shake it around, and they fall in each slot.
Yep, that's
cool. He had a waxy sifter.
Yep.
To sift the wood chips out of it. And
so that's on baitload.com.
Yep.
If you want to check that out.
Baitload.
That might get you a better idea, but
yeah, that was a neat booth.
Yep.
Neat person to see.
And then moving on, we talked to Lake Effect. Lake Effect is a Michigan company that sells custom rods, somewhat custom rods, I would say. And then they had some tungsten jigs there. They had some of their own plastics with some cool profiles.
They had a decent bundle going. The
Insanity bundle. So I actually purchased another rod. I have a 28-inch, it says SUL, so super ultralight. I don't know. This has a little bit of backbone to
sure.
it, but 28-inch, it's called the Panty Rocker.
The Panty Rocker, and you know, the guy was real proud of this, I don't know, what was it, 32 or 34-inch, trying to sell Ben on it, and Ben was
32,
like...
32, yes.
He was like, I really like it, but boy, I wish I had a 28, and... Sure enough, they had one in the back. It's the last one they had, a 28 panty rocker. Got the last one. So I know anyone that was there Saturday afternoon or Sunday doesn't have a 28-inch panty rocker.
The 28, this is for me. So this is a good profile rod. I was excited to check it out. It's in green. It's got some cool colors to it.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, had some good action, had a good bundle deal going on. Had 15 tungsten jigs that I'm going to try out.
Some plastics, too?
Yep, 5 packs of plastics.
Yep.
And a jig case.
87 bucks, something like that?
No, 120 bucks.
save 87 bucks.
There you go, yeah. Yep. So, not too bad.
Insanity bundle.
Yet to be determined on how it fishes, so.
The rods there looked like they were very well... put together.
Yeah, they had a pile of people around.
And the guy was very, I mean...
Okay, the guy had a Wonder Bread jig pattern shirt on. That was awesome.
Yes, he had a Wonder Bread shirt.
He was going all in on the Wonder Bread.
He was.
And this was not like a Wonder Bread shirt. This was a custom-made Wonder Bread-colored fishing shirt.
So it was great.
Good for him.
Yeah, that was neat.
Cold Snap. Cold Snap Outdoors. So these guys started from... Everything I can remember, right? They've always had snapping covers for your ice auger, right? This year, and I had to clarify because I wasn't really sure what was going on at their booth, they unveiled the CS1 jacket and the CS1 ice suit, which is a very high-end ice fishing suit. So actually, we went to look at it because...
I should have bought that one.
Could have. What was interesting, they were
flocked.
Trying them on. They were checking them out.
Very excited.
What's cool about it, it has a kind of a soft shell jacket that zips in. No, not soft shell. This was like a...
They had a rain.
Yeah, kind of like a rain liner
jacket.
So kind of like the Striker climate suit that's got the special jacket inside the jacket. You can zip out, wear separately. That's a great idea. That's cool. There's a lady trying it on.
Yep.
And
said that
it was cool.
It was something wearable for all four seasons. So got a rain jacket, you got a light jacket.
They bill it as a four season suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The price tag was
going four into seasons. It. I was like, all right, cool. Cold Snap. You know, what kind of deals are you running?
Yeah.
Right. Well, originally it's, I think, $1,340 for the suit.
Wow.
And she said, but today at the ice show, it's $1,000.
Woo!
Right? So, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah. I bet they sold some.
I bet they did. So, anyway, if you guys are in the market for one, let us know. I'd love to hear about, you know, your experience with that. They're, maybe the next up-and-coming ice apparel provider.
Yeah, looked appealing just by the number of people swarmed around there.
Yep. Then we went over to the old Widowmaker booth, our friends over at Widowmaker.
Well, we could barely get there. There are so many people.
Yeah, we have some pictures of just getting swarmed here. I think that was Saturday afternoon, right?
Yeah.
I'm selling a pile of lures there, and they had some good deals.
Yeah, the jigs were
usually do,
so. Very popular at the Widowmaker booth.
The Tungsten Shimmer Jig is new this year, relatively new. They were selling quite a few of those. We had some pictures of those. as well as the tungsten fly. So I just got some of those in my hands. That's a really cool profile. It's got quite the glow to the eyes on there. Lots of detail on those. And of course, you know, their hook quality is fantastic. Just big fan there. So shout out to the Widowmaker Lures crew. That was awesome catching up with you guys.
We got to get into the action too.
Yeah.
So Saturday morning.
We packed some jig boxes. So if you were the lucky owner of their tungsten jig case and their,
the big
it was their mega bundle.
Yeah. Or master bundle or something like that.
That's like almost every one of the jigs that they make
within
the tungsten suitcase. So that suitcase, we have that on the table here. That's fantastic. Just keeping everything within one section.
Yeah, you can fit a lot of stuff in here.
Compression foam on it. Yeah, I'm a fan. So
yours is very well organized, Ben.
Thank you.
I've got to say.
Thank you. I know what's in it. I know what's not in it.
Yeah, so, I couldn't believe, you know, how many people were, and everyone was filling up a little bag, you know.
Yep. Going to town.
Yeah, that's
stocking
great.
Up on lures. Good time to do it.
Yeah. Well, if they got new stuff and nice people and...
Absolutely. No, good stuff there. Always good catching up over at Widowmaker Lures. And then met a few fans. That's cool. Met them over at the Widowmaker booth.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was great.
Like I said, I got recognized, which is cool. Always great to meet fans. Daniel, I know I texted you. You were looking to meet up after you had lunch at the Nook. Didn't work out. Sorry, buddy. Next year. Or sooner. We'll see you out on the ice. How's that?
Next year for sure.
Over at the Norsk booth. So this is interesting. Norsk is unveiling their 50-amp-hour battery. It's an NMC, nickel manganese cobalt battery, which is a type of lithium ion battery. But it's a 14.8 volt. Comes with a charger. I don't know the pricing on it. We'll have to check that later. But
yeah,
it just seems like this year there were bigger and bigger screens, especially, you know, some of the guys showcasing some of those shuttles, like the Ice Master shuttle. A 12-inch screen versus a 9-inch screen, the power consumption probably is more than double.
Yeah. It's a lot more surface area there.
Yeah, and just some of that. So that's great to see some more higher capacity batteries. It was interesting catching up with Ryan over at Norsk. So that's cool. We'll share some more about that here coming up. Would love to get him on the show and talk about just lithium batteries, some of the trends that they're seeing in the industry. Definitely not going away, becoming more and more critical for everyone to have a source of power out in the ice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Norsk is doing some cool things there too. So
yeah. Yeah.
After the ice show.
All right,
we're winding down here, but for those of you still listening, if you're in the St. Paul area, what kind of food did we have?
Oh, we went to the Nook, had some stuffed cheeseburgers. Those are great.
Juicy Lucy's.
First of all, what a cool place.
Yes.
You know, we went in, there was a line, and we went right downstairs. They have a bowling alley in the basement and a bar, and we sat at the bar. There were plenty of room down there to sit. Just amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Real solid food.
Yeah. We had some great food the whole time we were up there.
Yep. Try to make that a thing when we head to that area, cause it's very close by the River Center there in St. Paul. So the Nook was fantastic. And then, we had one more mission. We had a
wild goose chase here
before we headed back down south. Tell us.
Well, I finally learned about the famous clam buckets.
Yes.
Clam buckets. So we checked a liquor store.
These are the Grain Belt clam buckets.
Yes. Turns out
there were clam buckets at the show. Remember?
Yes. Not the free clam buckets. These are bigger. These are bigger and better.
Absolutely.
And they're full of premium light.
Grain Belt premium light.
Absolutely.
American lager.
So we ended up going to three different liquor stores. The first one, the lady wasn't sure what we were talking about.
Yeah,
very nice.
Like, I can't help it.
Very nice. It was right around the corner from the Nook. But Ben made a few phone calls trying to set something up, and there was a store,
Lakeville.
Okay.
Lakeville Liquors.
Yep. And they had two. So we headed there, and we got there. They had one. Well, if you guys know, Ben doesn't do this podcast on his own. He also does it with Brett, who also needed a clam bucket.
That would have been a real grain belt. Kick in the pants if I would have came back with just one bucket.
There's enough beer for both of you, but only one bucket. So they were actually so organized in Minnesota, they were actually able to check their other store for availability. So
that was impressive. Yeah. So shout out to Lakeville Liquors.
Oh,
the lady at the counter was like, oh, yeah, no, after you called, a guy came in and bought one. I'm like, oh, dang it. So we only had one.
Probably she's heading home from the ice show.
Probably.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I can check her other stores. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that'd be great. Are they around here? She's like, oh, yeah, there's some downtown. Like, there, it's a small chain within Lakeville, Minnesota, which is
it's,
huge.
It's shout, a nice bucket, too. That's I don't know if that's a six. That might be a seven.
No, it's a six.
It's a six? Yep. Wow. Yep. Nice and tall, so it'd be if you sat on it, it'd be a little more comfortable.
Yep.
But, yeah, so we got them. We got them both.
Got the clam bucket. Yep, so we talked about it on the show. It's kind of a limited edition thing. And I feel like it's kind of run its course because there was literally...
That was it.
We found two.
Yeah. I bet after this past weekend, there weren't any anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got the clam buckets. We're drinking a few grain belts here tonight.
Yeah.
On another note, I'm going to be brining a turkey this weekend. So the clam bucket's going to get emptied out. It's going to be the turkey bucket.
That's why we needed the clam bucket for the turkey brine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's practically food grade.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dump a turkey in it, brine it.
Oh, for sure it is.
Absolutely. So
I've got a question for you. A couple episodes ago, you and Brett were talking about hubs.
Mm-hmm.
Did seeing them in person and feeling them and sitting in them, did that amp you back up about it, or are you still kind of walking away from that idea?
So after last year of how well we did with just my shelter, I'm off the hub a little bit.
Perfect.
For now.
Yeah.
But yes, seeing the hubs, I think this year's kind of a off season year.
Okay.
They have their max entry door, but there's really not a lot new in things. Hubs.
Yeah, sure.
And not that we need anything new, because, I mean, hubs are a hub, right? And that was your first time seeing hub-style shelters,
in person,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
You've seen my shelter and how that flips up. But hubs are really unique and, you know, just the amount of space you can get. But I feel like Eskimo kind of has the edge in my eyes, just in the way there's a setup. But
For the price, maybe Ice Runner for the price.
So, yes.
They had some stuff set up there, too.
The hub there, they had, I think it was a 3 or 4 man size. So, you know, general, you know, normal size square hub.
Yeah.
And that was $150.
Yeah.
And it was insulated.
That's insane.
They're just blowing them out.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Man.
Well, and you and Brett were talking about, you know, you've got your sled all packed exactly how you want. Yep. Well, now you've got to find room or do something with this hub, because it's not like a sled, you know.
So
what are you going to do? You're going to carry that out too.
Yep.
And if you don't want your shelter, where are you going to put all your stuff?
Yep.
You know,
no, it's a different type of fishing, definitely, and that would be something I'm open to. That I think as we get the kids out, we get your kids out too.
Yeah,
like that would be nice having
my daughter wants to go ice skating.
Oh,
she doesn't think there's fish. It's all about ice skating is what she's saying.
There you go. Ice skating. Check it out.
Yeah. Ever since Disney on Ice, that's been all she's talking about.
Yes.
Ice skating.
Get the skates on. But it'd be nice to have a warming shelter.
Yeah.
Where we can just
go in there, get warm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Have the little activity shelter. We don't need to punch any holes.
Yep.
You're not throwing your toys down the hole. Sure.
Just a place to go.
And so that's appealing too.
Yeah.
I think eventually we'll get in the hubs, but.
Well, I think when it's real cold, the kids probably won't be out there. You know, if it's a nice, sunny, calm day, they will be. But if it's, you know, 5 degrees, windy, cloudy, we're probably.
We'll have to check with Brett, though. I'll have to ask him that. Because,
Brett.
If he's on a pond, on his own lake.
Yeah.
You could have a hub out there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah,
so
maybe
I'll talk him into getting
one. And Brett's son, I know, is real. He's pretty hardcore about fishing.
Oh, yeah.
And pumpkin pie is both
pumpkin
of his
pies
kids.
And
both
ice
of his
fishing.
Kids. Yeah. I've enjoyed listening about that.
The pumpkin pies.
The pumpkin pie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Love it.
Anything else, Al?
I didn't know if you wanted to mention that little guy.
No, I think we'll touch on that at the next.
Yeah, episode. Talk about that with Brett.
We can't give people everything. No. in one scoop. But yeah. This has been a good episode. It's a little bit extended. I don't think anybody's going to complain there. But if you're still listening, we sure appreciate it.
And absolutely.
Thanks for following along with us through the season. It means a lot to Brett and I. I know we don't say that enough, but we definitely appreciate all of our fans. And just keep interacting with us. Send us messages, Instagram, Facebook, posting on our page. You know, we want to hear what you think. If you think we're wrong, I mean, we got thick skin. I can handle it.
Yeah, let them know.
Yeah, yeah, let us know about it.
I mean, it's absolutely good. It's good to have differing opinions and learn something. And
that's part of why we started this podcast. You know, just to get a little bit different view of things out there. And I think that's really what it's at the end of the day. What it's really all about is just getting people different information. I hope you found this episode interesting. If you weren't able to be at the show, if you were at the show and you saw something else cool, let us know. But you know, really, without being at the show, you can't find the bait load. You know, the waxy wizard.
No way. Yeah.
From bait load.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That kind of stuff. That's why we go to the show and check it out and try and report back, and then put it on your calendar for next year. It's always the first weekend in December. Start planning your next trip to St. Paul now.
Yeah, so. I highly recommend.
There you go. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening to
The Short Rod Show.